Well, ordinarily I have everybody kind of connect and get the energy going, but I spent most of the week away in just days of silence. And when you come back from that, just sitting down and being quiet really feels okay. And I hope that you all get chances at different times to do that. But just in case that person next to you is being quiet because they haven't woke up to who they are yet, would you just give them a real quick, good morning, you beautiful child of God.
Good morning, you beautiful child of God. Good morning, you beautiful child of God.
All right. So thank you for taking such good care of your neighbor. That's one of the things that came out of my time was an awareness of a beautiful story about prayer, a teaching of prayer that I hadn't seen that way before. So I wanted to share it with you. The experience of prayer and silence often is part of that basis for illuminating the scriptures. And so this is the scripture according to Winnie the Pooh. And the truth is, it's really about Eeyore. Now, most of you, I assume, know who Eeyore is.
Yes.
Okay, now, if you don't, you'll discover as we go along. But as I share the story, please remember that everyone in the story is a part of us. That we are this beautiful place called the Hundred Acre Woods. And it happens that Pooh goes through the experience of a very cold day. Now, it's snowy and cold, and so when Pooh goes off and he's on his way over to see his friend Piglet, what happens is a wonderful rhyme comes to Pooh, but it happens to be a snowy rhyme, and since snowy rhymes have to be given in the snow, Pooh and Piglet decide to take and practice the rhyme as they go to share it with Eeyore. Now, on their way to see Eeyore, they come across a wonderful place. It's warmer than the rest of the forest, and there's no wind there. So it's comfortable, and there's a little fence there, and so they sit on the fence in that very special place, and they practice their rhyme. And then Pooh says, I've been thinking, said Pooh, and what I've been thinking is this. I've been thinking about Eeyore. What about Eeyore? Well, poor Eeyore has nowhere to live. Nor he has, said Piglet. You have a house, Piglet, and I have a house, and they are very good houses. And Christopher Robin has a house, and Owl, and Kanga, and Rabbit, and even all Rabbit's friends and relations have somewhere to live. But Eeyore has nothing, so I was thinking, let's build him a house. That, said Piglet, is a grand idea. Where shall we build it? We will build it here, said Pooh. Just by this wood, out of the wind, in the warm, and because here's where I thought of it. And we will call this Pooh Corner. We will build an Eeyore house with sticks at Pooh Corner for Eeyore. There's a heap of sticks on the other side of the wood, said Piglet. I saw them, lots of them, all piled up. Thank you, Piglet, said Pooh. What you have just said will be a great help to us, and because of it, I would call this place Pooh and Piglet Corner, if Pooh Corner didn't sound better, which it does, being smaller and more like a corner. Come along. So they got down off the gate and went around to the other side to fetch the sticks. Now, at the same time, there is another happening occurring in the Hundred Acre Wood. Christopher Robin had spent the morning indoors going to Africa and back, and he just got off the boat and was wondering what it was like outside when who should come knocking at the door but Eeyore. "Hello, Eeyore," said Christopher Robin as he opened the door and came out. "How are you?" "It's snowing still," said Eeyore gloomily. "So it is, and freezing." "Is it?" "Yes," said Eeyore. "However," he said, brightening up a little, "we haven't had an earthquake lately." "What's the matter, Eeyore?" "Nothing, Christopher Robin, nothing important. I suppose we shan't, you haven't seen a house or whatever about." "What sort of a house?" "Just a house. Who lives there?" "I do. At least I thought I did. But I suppose I don't. After all, we can't all have houses." "But Eeyore, I didn't know. I always thought..." And Eeyore and Christopher Robin talk about a very strange experience that Eeyore had with his house. "So it all comes to this, that I built myself a house down by my little wood."
"Did you really? How exciting!"
"The really exciting part," said Eeyore in his most melancholy voice, "is that I left it this morning and it was there, and I came back and it wasn't." "Not at all. Very natural. And it was only Eeyore's house. But still, I just wondered." Christopher Robin didn't stop to wonder. He was already back in his house, putting on his waterproof hat, his waterproof boots, and his waterproof Macintosh as fast as he could. "We'll go out and look for it at once," he said to Eeyore. Now, Eeyore and Christopher Robin journey to that part of the forest where Eeyore had built his house. Now, Eeyore built his house in that gloomy part of the forest where Eeyore lives. It's gloomy, and it's the coldest part of the forest. And the wind blows there and makes it very cold. But Eeyore had built his house there. When they get there, they suddenly hear somebody making rhymes. And so Christopher Robin calls out and says, "It sounds like Pooh and Piglet." And Pooh and Piglet come over, and Christopher Robin began to explain to them the sad story of Eeyore's house. And Pooh and Piglet listened, and their eyes got bigger and bigger. "Where did you say it was?" asked Pooh. "Just here," said Eeyore. "Made of sticks?" "Yes." "Oh," said Piglet. "What?" said Eeyore. "Oh, I just said, oh," said Piglet nervously. "You sure it was a house?" said Pooh. "I mean, you sure the house was just here?" "Of course I am," said Eeyore, and he murmured to himself, "No brains at all, some of them."
"Why, what's the matter, Pooh?" said Christopher Robin.
"Well," said Pooh, "the fact is," said Pooh, "well, the fact is, you see," said Pooh, "it's like this," said Pooh, and something seemed to tell him that he wasn't explaining very well, and he nudged Piglet again. "It's like this," said Piglet, only warmer," he added with deep thought. "What's warmer?" "The other side of the wood, where Eeyore's house is." "My house," said Eeyore, "my house was here." "No," said Piglet firmly, "the other side of the wood." "Because it's warmer," said Pooh. "But I not ought to know." "Come and look," said Piglet simply, and he led the way. They came around the corner, and there was Eeyore's house, as comfy as anything. "There you are," said Piglet. "Inside and out," said Pooh proudly. Eeyore went inside and came out again. "It's a remarkable thing," he said. "It is my house. And I built it where I said I did. So the wind must have blown it here. And the wind blew it right over the wood and blew it down here. And here it is as good as ever. In fact, better in many places." "Much better," said Pooh and Piglet together. "It just shows what you can be done by taking a little trouble," said Eeyore. "Do you see, Pooh? Do you see, Piglet? Brains first, and then hard work. Look at it. That's the way to build a house."
I'm wondering if any of us has a Eeyore part of us that just because it had to be that way, built whatever we were building in the gloomiest, coldest part of our 100-acre wood. You see, Eeyore never thought of going to a warm place, because that's not the way Eeyore thinks of building a little better in a comfy place. Because when we're convinced life isn't comfy, we don't build comfy. But Eeyore does two amazing things. First of all, Eeyore built himself a house. Now, true, it had to get very cold and snowy for him to do that. And generally, until it gets really cold, snowy, and uncomfortable in whatever way our Eeyore is working, we don't make any changes. We just know that's the way it is. Now, that's though our house may be the health thing, might be the relationship thing, might be the money thing, or it might be that inner chewing on yourself thing. You know, whatever our Eeyore is working on. But Eeyore did love himself enough to build a house, even if it was a house as Eeyore sees, which is cold and just a pile of sticks. Now, then Eeyore did something else. Eeyore prayed. Now, I know it doesn't say that in the book, but when you take your attention off your gloomy corner of the world and put it on Christopher Robin, that's prayer. Because Christopher Robin is the Christ bearer, the light bearer. Okay, and the entire 100-acre wood is Christopher Robin's. And Christopher Robin loves and cares for everything in that 100-acre wood. So to take that attention. And that was a big step. Because usually what we do when we take that effort and our Eeyore's in charge, and it's not going to get any better, but I got to do something. So I do my something and it doesn't work. The house isn't even there. It fell apart like I knew it would. Very often we stop there. But Eeyore didn't. Eeyore prayed, went to Christopher Robin. And of course, to Christopher Robin, well, let's explore, because there's an amazing thing. Christopher Robin sees life as an adventure. And so, when you connect with Christopher Robin, greater possibilities open up. And of course, for Pooh and Piglet, they're just part of that love that is constantly trying to take care of us. Already building a better house if we're willing to find it, to open to it, where it's warmer and cozier, kind of a poo corner. Now, there's another form the story comes in, and that's kind of how we experience it. I want to give you a lady's experience. Her name is Mandy Hastings. And Mandy is a mother of small children when this event occurred. Okay, it would be a very frightening experience for her life. She heard a scream from her six-year-old, that kind that turns a mother's heart and gets her over there faster than you can get there. And as she came up, her little six-year-old was standing beside the body of the little two-year-old. And they had been playing just outside. The family lived in a rural area, and there was an old graveyard that was right there. And the kids would play and hide around the stones, and they were allowed to play there. But one of the stones had fallen over on the child's head. So this little two-year-old boy, Matthew, the stone had fallen on his head. And what Mandy did was scream for her husband, who came and with lots of adrenaline was able to lift the stone so that she could lift up the little boy. Now, they believed he was not conscious, but they believed him to be alive. And so the father ran to call for emergency help, and as the mother picked up the little boy and brought him in. They were fortunate that one of the life flight helicopters came, took the little boy, took him to the hospital. The parents couldn't go with the little boy to the hospital in the helicopter, so they had to take a car. And they came in and were talking with the doctor. And the father just said, "Please tell us he's going to live." The doctor said, "I can't say that. I don't know. And if he does, there is a good chance of paralysis and at least extreme impact on his vision and hearing and other things." The doctor was just being honest with what was before them. But Mandy turned to her husband and said, "No, he is going to be fine." Now, she could say that to her husband because of an experience that she had had. When Mandy was holding the little baby, waiting for the helicopter to arrive, she says, "I closed my eyes and once again began to pray. Please, God, let Matthew live. Don't take my son away." As I opened my eyes, a strange peace descended upon me. I heard, "Have faith. Everything's going to be okay. Matthew is in my hands." So that's what the mother heard. And the experience of that peace descending on her. Now what happened was within a week, Matthew was home from the hospital. And at the time that Mandy writes this experience, he had grown to where he was a teenager. And she says, "Matthew is a happy, healthy teenager who played sports, video games, does well in school. A happy, healthy young boy." What happened is in that experience of prayer, Mandy moved her attention off of the data that was coming into her brain, which her brain could use to figure out how bad it was. And she placed it on a place where there exists power, love, and infinite possibilities. That change is prayer. Now, that was kind of interesting to me. She said, close my eyes once again. It wasn't that she wasn't in that place of prayer, but something different happened for her. A different kind of connection. A connection to that presence and power. Now, Mandy doesn't say this. This is just my understanding when I read her experience. Is that in Mandy's first experiences of prayer, it was simply out of fear. Very, very understandable. But at some point, I believe she moved into the place of love. Now, not that love wasn't a part of her fear and what was going on. She moved into that place because that access door to the heart is love. And the place where we connect with that presence and its power and call it forth is love. It's when you love yourself enough to go see Christopher Robin. Okay. Jesus, about two teachers. Jesus, when you pray, go to your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret sees what is done and will reward you. Interesting. Going to that place where the door is closed, the outside, the data, where we're all figuring out how it's going to turn out or what we got to do, okay, is not included. What is there is the Father. Now, prayer keeps changing for all of us. Okay, it's not a static thing. It unfolds. And I shared with you when we began our prayer time. It's because I realize the way during that time of prayer is very different than what one would experience in a traditional church. We didn't ask anybody for anything. I don't need to. You are the presence. You are one with that presence. And it is you who have the power to call it forth. It's not separate. Now, I'm sure to Mandy in her experience, it didn't make any difference that she saw God as somebody outside of herself, out there. Fortunately, all prayer works. We're looking at what makes that journey to where we really bring forth an entirely different level at manifestation from great trauma and impairment for that little boy to health and vitality. Or a house in a warm place, a little bit better. The other teacher, Lao Tzu, my good friend. We join spokes together in a wheel, but it is the center hole that makes the wagon move. We shape clay into a pot, but it is the emptiness inside that holds whatever we want. We hammer wood for a house, but it is the inner space that makes it livable. We work with being, but non-being is what we use. That's what's in that inner room. There, my understanding is that in that experience of prayer, when we enter through that place of love and we are in the heart, in that change that happens in us, in that state of love, we literally open to levels of higher spiritual energy entering our being and activating greater potentials within our soul design, our soul possibilities. So within any moment, there is a greater potential within you. And you activate that by that connection through the experience of love, that connection with that which you are, that pure love and light and energy of the divine. And so for Mandy, because she was one with that little boy, she could activate that wholeness and call it forth. I don't think wherever we are in our dismal part of the 100-acre wood, we got there by choice. Now, we may have chosen to let some folks help us along the way. And my guess is some of them enthusiastically agreed. But we got there by choice. Getting out is also choice. We can build our house there, or we can go to where there is an infinite potential for another manifestation, a greater potential within our soul for expressing the wholeness that you are, that God is. Because God is that wholeness. There is no situation in which that wholeness is not present. Part manifest, part unmanifest. Part being, part non-being. It's there within you. So I would encourage you, just take a glance at what you're building and where we're building it. And if there's a relationship that we've kind of figured, well, it's just going to be a little cold, or there's a state of health, it's, well, that's just the way it is. Or if there's a need that, well, there's not quite enough or just enough to get by, or that question or turmoil that, well, that's just the way I am. Eeyore is not all that you are. Turn to that Christopher Robin. Because instead of it being cold, you can have your house at Pooh Corner.